And welcome to A Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you. By O-A-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-A-Rock.
I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O-A-Rock.
And this month, I'm really, really excited to say we have a special guest in this episode. One of the stars of our upcoming visual novel, The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saves the World. Please welcome Victoria Budke.
Hello, everybody. I am Victoria Budke, and I am going to be Finley in the upcoming Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World, and I am incredibly jazzed about that and cannot wait to play it myself.
If I could interrupt here for a really stupid thing, Paul, did
Absolutely.
You call it the pizza delivery boy who saves the world or saved the world?
Oh, no. I probably said the wrong one. That's probably what I did.
It's okay.
What's the actual name of the game?
The pizza delivery guy who saved the world.
Okay, it's not the guy. It's definitely not that.
Oh, I know You changed it back from guy to boy, didn't you?
There's
in the script.
There's a special joke about that at the end. No spoilers. But it is saved. Okay. Anyway,
it saved the world. Okay, we know the name of our project now.
Welcome to our incredibly professional podcast that we're doing right here.
I arrived and just immediately started divisions among you two.
I feel really good about this because we have. Like, an actual person on the podcast, not just us two dorks. Victoria, I was looking at your website earlier today, victoriabudkey.com. Is that right?
I will admit, it's been a hot minute since I have updated that thing, so.
Okay.
So that's probably exactly how it sounds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely spelled exactly how it sounds. It's probably been about 8 to 9 months since I've really updated that, so there are a few things I should probably update soon, but yes, I do have that website.
No, that's fine. That's probably more often than I update mine. That's okay. But I was looking at it, like you're a model, right? You're a singer. You're an actress. It's said that you play the guitar, the ukulele. You do something with horses. I don't know what, but I did see the word horse in there. horse something. So like my question is. What are you doing with us? Like, why are you wasting your time on our podcast right now?
I'll give like a very summarized, like,
please, yes,
how I am, got into what I'm doing and that sort of thing. So, as a kid, I started taking voice lessons just because I was kind of bored. And like at 11 and 12, like I was never a super, super outgoing kid. I wouldn't really call myself like incredibly shy, but I just didn't have like a huge group of friends. So I was like, voice lessons is something that I feel like I could do. So I started doing that. And then around the same time, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try horseback riding. And I got into that for a little while, got pretty good. I competed a little bit, but I only did it for like a few years before the barn that I was at just didn't have enough. It wasn't making enough money, and they unfortunately just had to close everything down and sell all the horses. And I got incredibly bitter about that, and I was like, I'm never riding a horse again. And then I just had nothing to do with my time, so on a whim, I auditioned for some local theater. I was like only 14 or so at the time, and it was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and I landed the role of Linus, and it was so much fun, and it kind of like sparked this love in me for acting as a whole. And so I did theater and I did a few filmmaking classes through high school. And I think it was probably between the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school, I decided this is what I wanted to go to college for. So after I graduated, I actually took a gap year and I traveled a little bit, went to LA for a little while. I don't really like it out there, unfortunately. So I came back home, went to film school, and then immediately just started getting all the work that I can. So, I work not as often as I'd like, obviously. It's a weird sort of business. But I just get anything that I can you know, take as far as scheduling allows. And so I've worked on a lot of productions that have been here in Charleston. I go back and forth to Charlotte, North Carolina, or Savannah, Georgia. I've been going back and forth to Atlanta a lot this year, working on a pretty big project that I actually can't talk about. I had to sign an NDA.
Oh, those are the best kinds of projects. That's awesome.
Yeah. So Savannah, Georgia was actually where I worked on Baywatch, which is the one that you have had the most interest in.
I'm so sorry. Yes.
No, it's totally fine. I promised that I would tell you about my interactions with The Rock, so I'm going to try to make it as exciting as I possibly can.
Awesome. Yes, take blow by blow. Just take me through this.
Yeah.
You don't want to say that when you're talking about a wrestler. Like, did he pick her up and throw her across the studio?
If he did the Rock Bottom, like, I will die right here on the podcast.
Excuse me,
like,
is that an actual wrestling move?
Yes!
Isn't that, like, the name of a pub or something?
It's a finishing move. He does the Rock Bottom and the People's Elbow.
He, like, sit on people? That's what it sounds like.
No.
Slaps his butt and goes, Rock Bottom, woo! Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. So, we were, since it was Baywatch, a good majority of the scenes take place on the beach, so I was just doing background work, and I was there on the beach with, like, 35 to 40 other extras that were there, and we were all kind of just sitting underneath the pier there on the beach, just kind of trying to stay shaded because it was real hot. And next thing I know, around the corner from like where the beach dune kind of got big, walking around the dune was The Rock. And he just came over to all of us and he was like, it's great to be here. So glad. Thanks for taking your day out to come and film with us. Hope you're having fun. Make sure you stay hydrated, stuff like that. And he was going down the line and he was shaking hands. And so I got to shake his hand, and his hand is very, very big because he is a very big man. And I am a very small girl.
Oh, I did not realize until this very moment that my life's dream is to have The Rock tell me to stay hydrated.
Hey guys, how's it going? Make sure you stay hydrated. He sounds like he's going through the dad routine on the beach.
Yeah, but it was cool. It was very nice to meet him. It was good to see him be so friendly and everything with the extras. I've been on productions before where the stars just don't care about you at all, so it was nice that he had the gesture, the goodwill to just come over and say, hey, it was cool.
That is just awesome. I'm speechless. So where else might we have seen you, or where else could we see you if we wanted to?
Okay. Some projects that I've done, I'm actually going to be on an upcoming episode of Atlanta Homicide, which is a new show that just started. I think on True TV is the network, which is a little bit obscure, but I'm in episode 9. I play the reporter, so that's going to be coming out soon, which will be cool. I've done a lot of work with the Saturday morning family show on CBS called The Inspectors. That filmed just here in Charleston, and I probably did 65 to 70 days of work among their four seasons. So you see me a lot. I'm one of the students at the university in the show. I did a small video gig with Google, actually. And Google has this, they're basically like online lessons for people who want to improve some of their like computer skills. They call them applied digital skills is how it's listed. So if you Google like applied digital skills, there is a set of video lessons that teach you how to write a research paper from start to finish. And I am your online video teacher. So that was
awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of recitation, but it turned out really cool. And the Google plant was one of the coolest places I've ever been, to be honest.
So is this like actually like Google HQ or Google Regional HQ or where
was
this?
Yeah, it was a regional HQ. So here in Charleston, Google does have a small plant, and they do probably 60 to 70% of all of Google's media is actually developed here in Charleston, which is kind of a weird thing, but it is. And I didn't know that until I got that job, but It was a real easy one. Just drive 15 minutes to the super cool Google plant and record on camera for like 7 hours at a time and then go home and do it again the next day.
That's so interesting to me. Like, I wouldn't have thought there'd be so much acting work in the area there.
Right.
Like, I don't know anything about the film industry. Literally nothing, but most of the work is like in LA, New York City, those kind of areas, right? I think that's really cool that you're able to find so much right around there in an area that I assume you actually like living in.
I do, yeah. Charleston's always going to be my home, even if I were to move away. There's some good things and bad things about the film, I guess, industry over here. So when you go to LA, like, obviously you're going to have anywhere from 200 to 300 projects happening simultaneously in the LA area, but your concentration of actors is also so much higher.
Sure.
So your pool of people is just so massive. And then in New York is still primarily for like professional theater and a lot of like episodic kind of stuff. Commercial work is a lot in New York. But they've been bringing things to the Southeast for two reasons. One, it's easier to slough through 200 auditions from actors in the Southeast than it is to slough through 2,000 from LA for a role. And tax incentives are actually a big reason why a lot of productions have been coming to the Southeast. States like South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and even Florida have set up some really nice tax incentives for production companies that come to the area. So it's a nice little write-off at the end of the year.
I'll have to take a look at that. I only know about my state's tax incentives because I was actually a tax preparer, which I kind of did for fun. I don't think I'm going to get paid for it. But
for fun, you say?
Yeah, was that fun?
Oh, it was more fun than a barrel of monkeys, really. No.
I guess it's probably more fun than the pizza delivery job, just based on playing the game.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, it's like, because I recently tried submitting my resume to the Nancy Drew people, because I figured, wow, now that I'm, like, a legit writer, I've written so many things, they might actually accept me. And, oh, man, they sent it back unopened.
Oh.
Tragedy.
What? Maybe if you were to write Midnight in Salem, we would, like, see it soon.
Ouch.
It would be nice if somebody did.
Yeah.
Sorry, the only thing I even know about Midnight in Salem is just from bugging Michael about it on the podcast, of whether it's out yet.
And so it's basically become a big meme within the Nancy Drew community at this point.
What's your favorite Nancy Drew game? I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Oh, okay. My favorite is Secret of... Secret of Shadow Ranch is the one I always go back to.
Ooh.
Really?
May I direct you to my Everything Wrong with Secret of Shadow Ranch video?
I have seen it.
The game is nothing but chores.
I love it, though, and I think mostly, I have to admit, I think most of it is nostalgia, and also Shorty's yodeling. You cannot get better than that.
That was actually great. I wish Shorty had been the return culprit in the game where they have a return culprit.
Oh, yeah, that would have been awesome.
Because they got Shorty's voice actor to play the return culprit, which is weird because he did not play the original culprit.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I'm trying to do this without giving spoilers. Paul has no idea what we're talking about.
No, I have no idea, but it's okay because I'm probably not going to play it.
Okay, so Paul, you know the game that we made, Francie Drew, and the shady midnight phone caller.
I've heard of it. Yes.
So the culprit. So the culprit in the original Nancy Drew game was Wayne Dowers, or Dwayne Powers, the crazy script guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they brought him back to be the culprit in Nancy Drew number 20, which was cute.
It was probably the only good thing about that game.
Yeah, I could accept the argument that game is worse than Secret of Shadow Ranch. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that, like I said, I know a lot of my love for Shadow Ranch comes from my nostalgia, because it was the first game that really hooked me on the series, but every time I play it, I'm just like, dang, I'm having so much fun.
We could start a cage fight about this game, but I don't know, I can't remember anything about the game besides just vegetable picking.
Aww.
That was it. If you've seen my speedrun for the game, it's honestly, the speedrun is like 40 to 50 minutes of just chores, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So trying to speedrun the game is just a nightmare, because it's the first day you have to do like all four chores in order to leave the ranch. Like you have to do Texas horse quiz, you have to make the horse food, you have to pick the vegetables, you have to find all the firewood and chop it. And those chores end up taking like 20 to 25 minutes. And then the rest of the day is just like 5 minutes. If you know what you're doing. But there's no way to skip any of the chores. And I think maybe that's why the game has somewhat of a bad taste in my mouth, is if you're speedrunning it, you're stuck doing chores.
And maybe that's another reason I do like it, is because speedrunning is not my favorite thing. I've tried to do that a few times and I'm just like, oh, but I'm missing all the dialogue that I really like.
Yeah, I think with Shadow Ranch, there's the optional, there's like two optional things in that game too. Have you seen like the bead sorting puzzle at Mirayazi's?
Yeah, and I know that doing the purse puzzle is also optional.
It is, okay, yeah, because I somehow manage to skip it every time I play, and I don't mean to.
Yeah, I think it's like if you know the flowers for the flower box near the end of the game, then it's not like Nancy has to actually know those things as long as you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like the music for that game. The music's good.
Michael's just so happy right now that he has someone to talk about Nancy Drew with, because whenever it comes up normally on the podcast, it's just, he talks for 2 minutes, and then I'm like, yep, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. We're good. Yeah, exactly.
To kind of segue, if I may, just yes. Like while I'm thinking about it. I have to say, though, that when I played Francie Drew and Friends, which I did on my Twitch channel blindly, and it was so much fun, I have to say that all of the references to Stay Tuned for Danger made me laugh pretty hard, and I appreciated all of that, because for me, somebody who's been playing the Nancy Drew series for years and years and years, it was so great to, like, see all the little, like, jokes or, like, weird lines somehow, like, fit themselves into the Francie Drew. It was really good.
Excuse me, taxi, where can I take you today?
Yeah.
I remember. I'm glad somebody appreciated that. Oh. Out of the two people that bought the game. Oh. Half of them liked
it. Well, it's at least like 10.
Oh, okay, that's better, that's better. Was The Rock one of them?
No. Before getting, I guess we've already gotten too sidetracked, but we just sold our very first copy of Trapped in a Soap Opera by itself last week.
Yay!
Because we sell the games as a bundle on Steam, and that's where the vast, vast majority of our sales come from, but we also sold them individually on Itch.io, and the very first purchase of Trapped in a Soap Opera, woohoo! Which I think actually you helped us with, is that correct?
I did, yeah. I was able to beta test that for you guys, so that was fun. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
thank good. You. I'm glad. I hope you liked it. I don't know how interesting the game is to somebody who's never seen soap operas, because
here's a fun fact, quick fact. I have seen soap operas. I'm not really proud to admit that fact, but when I was young, but we had a tendency to like let the TV like stay on during the day, and I was homeschooled because my dad was in the Air Force, so we were homeschooled, and I remember there'd be times where I would like go downstairs and I would be like, what in the world is going on? So I've seen a few little tidbits of soap operas here and there, and Trapped in a Soap Opera is pretty accurate, I'd say.
I'm glad. I think the one joke I put that nobody gets, or at least I never see in any soap opera parodies, was the cast member who is like 80 years old and has been on the soap opera since the 1960s.
Yeah.
It's like, you never see those in soap opera parodies, so I wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, so Victoria, you've done a few things with Owl Rock Studios now. As we talked about briefly, you did Pizza Boy, you tested Trapped in a Soap Opera. How did you find out about us, or did you, how did you end up here?
So, I'll be honest, I don't remember all of the exact, like, sequence of events, but I do know I have been, Michael, I've been watching your channel for years now, being a Nancy Drew fan. I just, you know, kind of stumbled upon your videos, and I've been watching those for a while. And then life got kind of busy with college and stuff like that. I wasn't on YouTube as much. And, you know, in the past three-ish years, I've kind of been getting back into, like, playing video games when I can and watching YouTube when I have the free time and things like that, trying to stay up. And so I kind of got back up into your videos, and I saw actually through a fellow Nancy Drew streamer. She had mentioned about Cat President that was coming out that Arglefump had, you know, written for. And I was like, what is this? So I like started on Twitter and I all of those things. And I was like, okay, this game sounds really fun. I actually found out about this like probably like a week after the game actually released. So I found out about you guys through that. And I ended up buying Cat President at that point. And then a few months later, I was like, I'm going to jump into this on my own Twitch channel. So I started streaming it, and people were very amused by the game, as was I. A lot of my reactions you see right there. And so I was like, I'm just going to start following Paul, because his, you know, his name was attached to it, and O-Rock Studios at that point. And so I just kind of kept watching, and then I think it was like last spring, either Paul or it was through the O-Rock Twitter account posted about the casting call for Pizza Boy. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get it, but I'll email him. And so I did. And you emailed me back in like an hour and you were like, yeah, do you want to be this role? And here's a bunch of pictures you could send me. And I was like, oh, okay.
I was really excited because you were, I believe, the only person with actual modeling experience who got in touch with us. No, but really, like, it sounds like I'm just making a joke about it, but I was so excited when your pictures came in. I was like, there's a real difference between the pictures that you took and, for example, the pictures that I took. It was very clear that you really knew what you were doing. Like, you were conveying a very specific emotion with each picture, and it really came across really well.
To be fair, though, you gave me very descriptive poses.
That's true.
So when it was like, is annoyed at too much pizza or whatever it was, and I was like, got it. And I would pose, and my best friend would
snap a couple pictures. Do we have the original list of those things, too?
I'll find it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but it was like it was like a little annoyed. Slightly
I wrote that
more annoyed.
List, actually.
Very
Paul
annoyed.
Had nothing to do with it, so.
Yeah, all right, here are a few examples.
Okay.
Blank look, smiling, in quotes, haha, just kidding. apologetic, oops, I messed up, didn't I? Serious, really, really serious. annoyed at Doug for making bad jokes. a little annoyed with herself for ordering pizza all the time instead of cooking.
That one.
Wait, whoa, that's... Oh, no, Paul, we've got to make sure that pose goes with that particular line in the script.
Yeah.
Because what Paul's been doing is he's been sending me the various... Well, he's been sending me the game chapter by chapter, and then every time he sends me a chapter, I send him back to say, no, you need this picture for that.
Nah, he never likes the poses I pick out.
Aww.
Yeah, so for example, I'm like, no, like, this is a line where she's supposed to be super duper serious, when I don't want to give spoilers, but I mean, that was the line.
Yeah.
Like, she has to be super duper serious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, please, no spoilers. She
Victoria
hasn't
played
the game yet. She hasn't seen the script. She only knows what we've said about it. So
yeah,
no spoilers.
The poses that I sent, that's like all the context that I have, because when I play it, I want to be like super like surprise plot twists and all.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier, I think, that you actually have you mentioned yet that you you stream on Twitch too, right? You play games.
You mentioned
and
that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I do, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you planning to stream Pizza Boy when it comes out?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. And I'll make a big hoopla awesome. About it on Twitter, so you'll know.
Awesome. Where can we find you on Twitch?
So I am twitch.tv/vbudkey. And that's like it sounds, not to copy, but just the letter V and then bud, like a flower bud, and then key, like you open a door with. So vbudkey.
And I think I saw that you have a pretty big stream coming up in a couple of weeks. Is that correct?
I do, yeah. So I just hit 500 followers on Twitch, which is a big deal to me considering that I don't really stream full time. And I promised my viewers a while back that when I hit 500 that I would plan a 12-hour stream. So I'm doing that in a couple Fridays. And I'm going to have to definitely get to bed early and power through. Lots of coffee, lots of candy, whatever I have to do.
I can't even imagine. Michael and I used to write for this website called Game Colon. We once did a, it was for the website's 10th anniversary. We did a 10-hour live stream, but like, we had different people scheduled for every hour. I think there was one person that was there for everyone, and I think he might have taken a nap at one point during it, but like,
yeah,
like nothing like that. No, nothing like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. I hope you're ready for this.
I'm going to try to prepare. I've like set out like an itinerary with like specific blocks of time where I'm like, stop what you're doing and go eat some food kind of blocks of time. So
I think you should have the Twitch followers vote on what you like, what pizza you get, or
I'm gonna order a pizza, guys. What are we getting?
Yes, exactly.
I'm gonna deliver the pizza.
Perfect segue into me playing Pizza Boy.
Yes.
Oh, and I forgot. I'm also gonna be involved in Internet Court coming up, so that'll be fun.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
I played one of the characters. It was very fun. There was a lot of, it's like, she's a very like distinguished kind of character, like a knows more than you kind of girl. And, she was a lot of fun, a little bit of snark, and everything. So I'm really excited to see that kind of come together too. I noticed you'd been tweeting out a couple, like screen caps, which made me excited as well.
Yeah. It was so funny. Like I've been working on, I'm only on case one so far, right? We have, there's four cases in the game. I've been coding and editing and all that. I've been doing the first case for several months now, and I've gotten like so used to staring at the game that I didn't realize it was going to cause such an uproar when I shared a screenshot one day. I was shocked. Like, I shared a dumb joke screenshot where I just had some, like, placeholder stuff on there, and then it got a lot more likes and retweets than I am accustomed to. That was... But yeah, so getting back to Pizza Boy for a few minutes, I wanted to talk a little about your process for taking the pictures for your character.
Like, okay.
How did you do that? Did you have like a tripod set up? Did you have someone there to work with you?
Yeah. When after I had gotten the email from you, I think I had gotten your email in the evening, and I called my best friend and I was like, I might be in a video game, so I need to take a bunch of pictures. Will you help me? And she was like, yeah, okay. So the next day I like printed up your email with all of the stuff, like all the poses on it. And I went over to pick her up, and then we went to, like, a park. So all of those pictures were actually taken outside, so that I didn't have to, like, set up lights and stuff. I just used the natural sunlight. And I stood against the side of a dugout in one of our, like, local Little League baseball diamonds. So cool. That background is just, like, the side of the dugout building. And she would read the next one, like, the next pose. And I would try a few, and she would tell me if it looked like, if it wasn't animated enough, if it was maybe too animated. So having her there was really, really helpful to me to make sure that I was not copying any of my poses by accident, since some of them are, like, really close. So I didn't want to give you a whole bunch of the same picture, you know. Having her there was really helpful, and then she took, like, probably 3 to 5 for each pose, and then we went back and kind of deleted the ones that we didn't really like, and then I just bundled them all together and sent them off to you. So the whole thing took a few hours, but it was a lot of fun, and like I said, all of the very descriptive poses were really fun, because I was like, how am I supposed to look annoyed at pizza? So it was like a little bit of like a real life improv acting exercise, you know. There was a point where she was like, okay, well, let me pretend to be like the guy at the pizza store that you're calling an order in, and he's like, oh, it's you again. And so we just fun little things like that. It kept us laughing.
So
and I think hopefully we got some really good pictures because of it.
I think that's close to what the actual line is. Obviously it's my character, not
oh, really?
The main person at the, but is basically, she's like, how do you have my name memorized? And I'm like, you order pizza every day. That's how I know, I think is one of his dialogue options. And she's kind of annoyed at herself. She's like, oh yeah, I really shouldn't be doing that.
I'm kind of like that with the Mexican restaurant across the street from where I work. I do have like a 9-to-5 job where I work at a hotel, and there's a Mexican restaurant right across the way, and I love their enchiladas. So there was a time where I was like going there every break from work, to the point where I'd walk in and they'd be like, "We already know what you're going to order. Just hang on for a second."
Oh, that's awesome.
I noticed that you're wearing a bracelet in all of your pictures. Was that like on purpose?
Or no,
like you also
actually
have a ring.
Yeah, it's just a bracelet that I wear all the time. It's got my nickname on it, which it's Tink. And my best friend's, hers says Peter. So we're Peter Pan and Tink. Her family's called her Peter since she was very small, because she has a sense of adventure. And then when we became best friends, she just started calling me Tank and it stuck. And so we have little matching, like, friendship bracelets. So, like, kind of dorky, but we like it. So I just forget to ever take it off because I, like, wear it all the time. So that's where all, that's why they're in all the pictures.
Okay.
That's probably the most adorable thing I've ever heard on this podcast. Oh, yeah, it was funny. So when we've been getting the tester feedback recently, and there was like one or two shots where I had to flip your character art just for one like scene, and I got totally called out on it because your bracelet and your ring had suddenly switched hands.
Oh no!
People were so. I actually went into the image and photoshopped them back onto the other side of yeah.
Gosh, like, sorry for making you do all that work.
No, it wasn't you. It's because I needed your character to be facing a slightly different direction. It was like literally like one line of dialogue.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice. I'm sorry. I apologize, too, because I took my pictures before the casting call. And so I thought that my character was going to be on the right-hand side of the screen talking to somebody on the left-hand side of the screen. So I'm sort of facing to the side in all my pictures, and all the other characters are facing directly straight forward to the camera.
No, it works out fine, I think.
I know, but it still makes me feel bad. But
well, if you want, you can go back and retake all of them.
I don't think I can. getting the makeup for that was complicated.
Yeah.
But with that process, I basically had the script in front of me and scrolled through the script and said, okay, this is probably a pose, this is a pose, this is a pose. But
yeah, I got like a bazillion pictures from you.
So that was...
There was a lot of pictures. I have so many pictures of Michael on my hard drive right now. It is absurd.
You will never have a shortage. If you ever need a picture of Michael, you will have one for every occasion.
Extremely true.
Well, here's the thing is, I don't want to be mean, but I don't have somebody who's actually like a good photographer in the house with me. So that's part of the reason why I did like 5 poses for pictures for like...
Give Rosie like 5 years. It'll be fine.
Mary can't do that either.
No, I mean, it was helpful. It was helpful that both of you sent in multiple shots for each expression, because I was able to work many of them like still into the script and give both characters even more emotion, even more different views than we would have had otherwise. So it actually worked out pretty well, I think. And by the way, if anyone at home doesn't know this, Michael does play the other lead in the game. Default name Doug Rivers, but you can type in your whatever name you want. But
yeah, so I was going to say, I was worried that half of my pictures would end up blurry, and, you know, I've gone through some of the pictures, and that is in fact the case. And the funny part is, there's always the pictures of me in between pictures.
Yeah.
I think you used that for the intro, actually. You thought it was
I love that. Yeah, I was just
me laughing.
With your eyes closed, because I thought it was a really good picture. okay, so yeah, the other thing I wanted to talk about Pizza Boy was, Victoria, now that you still know basically nothing about the game, I was wondering if you could describe who you think your character is, because I think it'd be kind of interesting to come back to this later, especially for people once they've got a chance to play the game. I'm curious, what do you think this character is?
Okay, so
who do you think she is?
Just using the information that I've heard from you guys on your Twitters, on previous episodes of the podcast, seeing the expressions and poses that I was given to take pictures of. I know that there's something definitely like secret about her. Like, there's got to be some sort of secret that either she has or she knows about. Something like that is what I've gathered. Maybe it's Doug's secret or something that she knows about. And I know from the trailer that there is some time travel involved. So maybe she knows about that, or she's also from a different time. Maybe something like that. There's some sort of mysterious secret around her, and I'm not sure what it is. Obviously, we know that she loves pizza. So I wonder if she actually loves pizza, or if she uses that as an excuse to maybe, like, get information or get to know Doug more. That's also a thing that I'm debating about. She seems generally nice. There weren't a ton of, like, mean or angry poses. There were a few. Which I'm also curious to know what she gets super angry about, because I know there's a super angry pose. So I'm curious to see what that yelling will be. But yeah, so I really don't know a lot about her. I'm curious to see. My best friend, actually the one who took all the pictures, was one of the testers for you guys, and she did not give me any spoilers because I was like, please, please, please do not. But she tested for you guys, and she told me that my character Finley was incredibly deeper than she anticipated. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see, like, learn more about her and figure out who exactly she is and what purpose she even plays in the story. So,
yeah, definitely deeper than, say, the character that only has two poses.
True.
Are you taking a shot at my character?
The person, the woman who is shocked and then angry, and then that's.
Oh yeah.
Don't you play Paul, the guy in the park who, like, takes the pizza?
You're a pizza thief.
I play the pizza thief.
That's so great.
I called dibs on that as soon as, like, I didn't even put that in the casting call. I'm like, nah, that one's mine. I'm gonna do that one. It's fun, actually. Here's a fun behind the scenes thing. The costume for that character, his hat. It's Awkward Steve's hat, just backwards. It's the same hat. Yeah, my experience taking my six pictures or whatever, not quite as interesting. I did use a camera sitting on my windowsill and a timer, and that would have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it was kind of weird for me playing the game because this isn't a spoiler. There are sound effects in the game. Our character yawns, I believe. And I'm like, that's not what my yawn sounds like.
That's true.
You went for a deep, manly yawn. I'm like, well, I appreciate the compliment, but...
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that you call that deep and manly, because I'm pretty sure that was me. There are a few of the vocals for... then, like, like sighs and yawns and stuff like that. I tried to just record that stuff myself if I could. Otherwise, I would get it off of freesound.org, where I get all my other sound effects. But yeah, that sort of makes Michael's character. The visuals are him, but the few voice samples they have are me, which is actually when my wife Lizzo was testing the game, she also named him Paul Franzen instead of Doug Rivers, which just made things really confusing for everybody.
Confusing for everyone involved.
I actually have a question for you, Paul, if you don't mind.
Oh, please, absolutely.
How do you decide, or what resources do you use or pull from to pick and, like, put in music to your games? Like, for instance, for Cat President, one of the things I really liked about that game was the fact that there was basically never silence, which sometimes, like, I've played games before, other, like, small visual novels and small things like that, where there's be periods where there's not music, and to me it's always kind of creepy. So I like the fact that there's pretty much always something going on. Do you have, like, somebody you know that makes the music for you, or do you just pull from, like, online resources? Like, how do you go about all of that?
Yeah, it's the latter. We don't have a music person per se. It's really just I have about a half dozen different Creative Commons music websites that I visit, and I kind of mix and match from different sites. A lot of people, a lot of video game developers, I was using this site called Incomptech.com by Kevin MacLeod. It's basically, he any indie game from like 2012 or so to today, like basically he did the sound, his music is the soundtrack for that game.
Gotcha.
So I used a lot of his stuff in Cat President specifically, but I've been trying to get away from his stuff for the exact same reason. Like I'll be playing a different game and I'll suddenly hear like the festival theme from The Beard in the Mirror and it just throws me off completely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just I have different websites. Like I my basic process is I kind of figure out what sort of tone we're trying to set for the scene. Like, is it a silly scene? Is it an aggressive scene? I try to just sort of, I guess visualize isn't really the, well, I don't know what the audio version of visualize is, but
listen-alize.
I try to listen-alize, like, what do I feel like I should be hearing when this scene is happening? And then I go and keep listening to samples of music until I find something that I think fits it right. Sometimes it's like 2 minutes and I find the right song right away. And sometimes it could take like an hour for me to find the perfect song. And I also just keep a notepad document on my computer that if I find a song that I really like, but it doesn't fit the scene that I'm currently working on, I'll bookmark it there with like a couple notes on what the tone of that is. So I can reference that later.
Well, I think it's at least, you know, from the games of yours that I've played so far, you do a very good job at layering it in to the point where it's there and it adds to the game without ever being distracting, which I think is a really nice balance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's something I do tend to spend a lot of time on, probably more than I should be. With Cat President, I had so much fun picking marches from Philip Sousa, I think the guy's name was, like this famous composer of like real big band Americana kind of songs.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun just kind of matching them to various scenes in the game.
Yeah, it was very like old school America, you know, patriotic stuff. It puts you in a really good mood for the game, so.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. So we do have a couple of listener questions if we'd like to talk about that for a little bit. Does that sound good to everybody?
Sure.
All right, so this one doesn't have anything to do with anything we've been talking about, which makes it fun. This comes from our superfan, Elizabeth Pfeffer, on Twitter, and she would like to know, what games would you like to see remastered and redone?
I like saying Nancy Drew's Secrets Can Kill remastered. It's been like 10 years. I think we need another one.
You want to remaster the remaster squared?
Yes. And I'm the culprit.
Oh, Mr. September.
Yeah.
I thought he looked suspicious.
I'm trying to think. I would love to see a rehashing. It's not an incredibly old game. It's only about 17 to 18 years old, but I'd love to see a remake of the original Paper Mario for Nintendo 64. The game is still playable now, but some of the, like, controls and some of the graphics are starting to look pretty dated, so I'd love to see that just, even if it was just remastered into, like, an HD, maybe the music plussed up a little bit, some of the control problems in battle and navigating were kind of smoothed over. I think it would be an almost perfect game.
That's interesting, because I thought, like, in many ways, the second game, the GameCube game, is like a remaster of the first game, to be honest.
Which is why, like, Thousand Year Door is actually my favorite GameCube game of all time. And that's why I love it so much, is because it just feels like an improvement. But I do love the story from the first game a whole lot, so I would love to see that again. But
I'm the only one that likes Super Paper Mario, aren't I?
I don't dislike it, but I'm not really good at platformers, so...
Yeah, see, that's what I liked about it so much, was that I don't really like RPG turn-based combat, so I loved that all of the combat was basically replaced by a big side-scroller game with a story. I enjoyed that quite a bit, but...
I liked it. I think the, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of the story of Super Paper Mario,
I'm a fan of the
story. I don't know. I'm totally forgetting the story now, so I don't just remember.
There's Count Bleck, and Luigi is evil for part of it, and that's all you need to know.
It's actually been on my list of games to replay for probably since the first time I played it, so I hope I get back to it at some point. But on the topic of like remakes, remasters, I was trying to think of this, and this sounds like I'm trolling, but there are, like, a few of the games I'd love to see remade are Turtles in Time and Secret of Mana for the Super Nintendo, both of which have received remakes, but, like, I want to see good remakes of them at the risk of sounding like a huge jerk. Like, it was really sad to me when both of those remakes, Secret of Mana just came out, like, this year. I was very, very sad when those remakes came out because they're just so bad, and it means we're not going to see, like, a decent version of it. Like, Secret of Mana, they completely redid the game from the ground up, which I guess, you know, whatever, that's what they do. They did something so weird with the music where it sounds like they put all the notes of each individual song in, like, a paper bag and just kind of pulled them back out at random. It makes me so angry whenever I see or hear anything about that game. Like, all I would have wanted from that game is not better graphics. I think the graphics are great. I would have just loved, like, a version with online play and, like, the ability to, whenever you cast a spell in the game, it pauses the game for all of the other players. So while the mage is casting a spell, no one else can do anything. So I would have gotten rid of that too, but no.
That seems like such an easy fix too, in, like, today's video game standards.
And they didn't do it in the remake. It still pauses the game.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I just get very, very sad with so many remakes that I don't want them to remake anything. I'm just going to play everything on the old hardware. That's fine. Question made me sad. Yeah, so any other thoughts anyone have on games they want to see redone, remastered?
You know, I am just looking at pictures of this Count Black, and I do not remember this character at all. It is not a memorable villain.
He's got some great dialogue, though. I would say replay it just for his dialogue, because it's pretty brilliant.
I think you need to stream it.
I will, eventually. Yes. Or awesome. or definitely Michael could, because especially on YouTube, that would get a ton of traffic through.
Oh, I can't do it. I don't have a Wii anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, actually, I'm very sad, because I turned in, like, all my old video game things to this video game store, and they gave me, like, $700 of in-store credit, and they don't have any, like, Nintendo Switch games. I'm like, what?
Huh.
It's like, can't you guys order any Switch games? And they're like, no, this is just a used game store. I'm like, what?
Well, so you just have to wait for 5 years until people start selling their old Switch games, and then you can get them.
They don't even have any 3DS games either. Not really, oh. So sad times for me.
Well, we did have a second question on Twitter. This one's from, that's weird, it's from Paul M. Franzen, and he wants to ask everybody, Disneyland or Disney World?
Are we going to fight?
We might, depending on what your answer is.
I have been to both. I've never been to California Adventure because when I went to Disneyland, I only had one day, and I didn't want to rush through Disneyland. But I would say that Walt Disney World Resort in Florida is my favorite place on this entire planet. Yes. And if I could live there, I would. And I would turn one of the bedrooms in the Swiss Family Treehouse into my room.
Is the perfect answer. I only even just discovered the Swiss Family Treehouse the last time I was there, my last trip. Like, I didn't...
The big imposing tree you never noticed?
I guess I knew it was there, but I always just walked by it. Same with Tom Sawyer Island. I still haven't even... I've never made it out there before.
I think they actually they don't open Tom Sawyer Island all year round.
Really?
It's only, like, during peak seasons, so, like, around the holidays and then during the summer.
But that's something I love about the park is that there's, like, always something, like, either there's something new or there's just something, like, you missed last time you were there. Like, a couple trips ago, I discovered the Carousel of Progress for the first time a couple of trips ago, and I just...
Super classic.
It's the cheesiest, goofiest, slowest ride in the park, probably, but I was just totally in love with it. The music, the sets, the everything about it. And the old school
animatronics.
It
makes me really happy, and I always sing the song along with them,
yes!
Kind of loudly in the theater to annoy everybody.
Oh. So, Michael, what are your thoughts?
I've never been to Walt Disney World. I've been to Disneyland. I've never been to Tom Sawyer Island. And they don't have the Carousel of Progress in Disneyland. Oh.
They nerfed you guys.
I think you need to make it out to Disney World sometime.
I don't know. Isn't it supposed to be like 5 different buildings or something?
It's 4 different, like, actual parks.
That's so confusing because the Magic Kingdom is split up into like 5 different parks.
Well, the Magic Kingdom is basically like Disneyland, so they're basically the same setup. And then you have like California Adventure, which is basically Hollywood Studios in Orlando, and then you just have 2 other parks too.
Yay! You have the giant golf ball one, yep. And the Animals Attack Kingdom.
You got it, nailed it.
That's perfect.
Yes. See, I know my stuff.
I've followed too much of the news, and Epcot is making me very sad now because they're replacing like everything in the park with more cartoon character rides, and
they're starting to call it not affectionately Epcot for like properties.
My wife, like, she's never been a huge Disney World fan, but like one of the 2 things she really likes in the park was the Ellen DeGeneres dinosaur ride. And they,
ouch, and it's gone.
It's gone. It's just not there anymore. They're replacing it with a Guardians of the Galaxy thing, and I guess, whatever. So can we just start a new podcast about Disney World? Because I would be all over that. That would be great.
I would totally be all over that, because awesome. I might spend too much of my time watching video ride-throughs on YouTube and incessantly refreshing the Walt Disney World news blogs.
Yes. I follow like a Walt Disney World News Today Twitter account, and there's just like pictures of, here's a new keychain that they're selling in this store in Adventureland.
You're like, I'd never buy this, but I still want to know about it.
Yes. Did you hear that they might be getting rid of Illuminations at Epcot, the nighttime show?
Well, it hurts my feelings a little bit, but I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, it's been going on for like 15 years, but that's the other thing that my wife likes at Disney, is
as long as Tower of Terror can survive, I will be okay.
Oh, they're changing it at Disneyland, though, right? Isn't it a Guardians
of
the Galaxy?
Yeah, they changed it to Guardians of the Galaxy at Disneyland.
Yeah, I guess I can't complain about that one because, I mean, it was Twilight Zone before, so it's not like an original thing becoming a not original thing, but...
Right.
Still, I feel like my favorite rides, my favorite anything at Disney World is like the stuff that has nothing to do with the movies. It's the original stuff, and it's sort of on the way out.
Have you played the new Disney game? The one that's supposed to be like Adventures of the Magic Kingdom? They keep showing ads for it. It's basically you're Mickey Mouse and you build all these things in Disney World and such. Disney Magic Kingdoms. Build your own magic park. The app.
Oh, it's an app.
Yeah, it's Disney Magic Kingdoms, but they keep showing ads on my computer because I guess my computer can play apps.
This is somehow the first time I'm hearing about this.
I played it for like 3 minutes and it wanted me to register, and I'm like, oh, forget that.
Decorate the park your way, build 100 plus Disney park attractions. This is a huge failing of someone's advertising algorithms that this is...
I was about to say, this looks really, really cool. Yeah. How come I've never heard of this ever?
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I guess something good happened. As a result of all this Disney talk. Oh, man.
I can't wait. My next trip is planned for January 2020.
I'm going with my family in December, which is, but like early December before school is out, so it shouldn't be too crowded, but I'm going to be able to see all of the holiday stuff at Epcot, which makes me really, really excited.
Yeah, we usually, or the last time I should say, we went in like mid to late January. I was there for the Run Disney stuff, and they still had a lot of the Christmas decorations up. I had never seen that before. That was really cool. Even though it was starting to look a little bedraggled by January 23rd, but it was still cool. Oh man. Okay, now I just want to start planning my Disney trip. So, okay. I think that about does it for this month's episode.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It was an honor to be here.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It was a lot of fun. Michael never lets me talk about Disney, and I never let him talk about Nancy Drew. So, you know, it worked out great for both of us. So, yeah, you can follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen. Michael is at Argelfumpf, and Victoria is at V. Budkey, right?
Yep.
V-B-U-D-K-E-Y.
That's right.
You can check out our games on Steam or itch.io. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. Our latest game, which we've been talking about a little bit on this episode, was the Francie Drew and Friends Collection, which is out now on Steam. So please, everyone, check that out if you haven't already. Victoria, was there anything else you wanted to plug while we're here?
If you want to follow me on Twitch, please feel free to do that. I will be streaming Pizza Boy when it comes out, among all of the other OOrock things I have not yet played, such as Awkward Steve and stuff like that. So that was just, again, twitch.tv/vbudkey.
You are in for something else if you haven't played Awkward Steve yet. I almost want to apologize in advance because
it's
a very strange game.
No, it'll be fine. It's going to be great.
Michael's fans did not like that game, I don't think. I don't think it went over well with the Nancy Drew Clue crew. but we'll find out. And finally, if everyone listening, if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. Michael, do you have anything else you'd like to add? All right, then. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for joining us, Victoria, and we'll see you all again next month. Bye. I wonder where Michael went.
Where did he go?
I don't...
There you are.
Whatever. Anyway, I was talking over you for the whole time. I complained that you would spell out her name and not Arglefumph, and I'm like, wow, you're such a jerk. You're not even acknowledging the fact I said that.
Just so easy.
I specifically did that to annoy you, too.
That worked. Yeah.
I'm so glad it worked.
And I complained, and I talked about where where this new Star Wars land is opening.
Oh, now I want to talk about Harry Potter land, though.
I haven't been there. Mary just
I've
wants,
never been either,
Mary wants to go there.
You haven't been there? Oh, are you a Harry Potter fan?
I'm not. I've attempted to get into the books a few times, and they don't hold my attention. Oh. So I'm like one of the few people that I just haven't ever really gotten into the series.
This is the first time you've disappointed me.
Oh,
gosh, I thought I had a couple of, actual business things to talk to you about, but now I'm forgetting.
I can leave if you need to talk about secret things.
No, we have no secrets. It's fine. You can stay. I mean, you also don't have to hang around to listen to business talk.
Well, I like not spoiling things for myself, so yeah. If this is a good time for me to duck out, I can do that.
That probably would then, yeah.
Okay, thanks guys for having me on again.
Thank you so much for being here. It was a lot of fun.
No problem. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye. Now we can talk about secrets.